Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
It's Pentecost, yeah? It's Pentecost, and I have a message. As Shola said, I do have a message, which I believe God has laid on my heart, a message that's going to challenge us all, a message that's going to, I believe, will take us to a new level. But first of all, I want to declare that this is a sacred assembly. Sacred assembly meaning we are gathered today to be set apart for God. It's Pentecost, right? Set apart for God. We are gathered to be set apart for God. It's sacred. Why? Because God's present. And God wants to touch. God wants to retouch. God wants to lay his presence upon each and every single one of us. Why? To set us up for what is ahead. I want to encourage you, church. Let's not be moved by what we hear, see, or feel out there, by the TV, by social media, by the news. But let's not be moved by that, because we are in a good season. We are in a good season. The church is in a good season. The Spirit of God is falling upon the church. The church is growing. People say that the church is declining. The church is growing. I just met a young man out there today who came in for the baptisms just then before I rushed in onto the stage. And he says, I said, you got a church? He goes, yeah, I'm a Catholic. I go, great. Praise Jesus. And I really believe that God's going to start breaking the denomination walls down, and the church is going to start standing unified, and we are going to see a move not only in this state but in this country like we have not yet seen before. Well, so I come this morning with excitement. Prepare yourself. I come this morning with anticipation of what is about to happen. I said to the previous service, I said, I've got like a burning sensation in my stomach. It could be hunger pains, but I doubt it. I think it's more the fire, because I didn't have this yesterday. All right? For those of you who are visiting, yes, we are coming out of a 7 day of prayer and fasting. Today's day 7. Today we prayed for this day. We pray that today God will infuse us. God will change us. God will restore us. God will reform us. Whatever God wants to do, let him do it. Amen. I'm excited. This week, as I was reading through Acts 2, because of course it's Pentecost, and that's the scripture that you read in preparation for today, my eye was drawn to Peter's words in Acts 2:16, which says this, but this was spoken, that this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It arrested me. And then Peter goes on to quote the prophet Joel, which we all know too well. So I decided that I would go back and read Joel. I'll go back to Joel 2 and start reading. And to get context, I decided, all right, I've got to get context of what Joel 2:28 is, but I'll go back to Joel 2:12 and I'll start there. And I started reading from Joel 2:12 to 32. And the more that I did this, I realized something which is really significant, and that is before Acts 2, there was a Joel 2. Before the Spirit was poured out, a trumpet was sounded. Before there was a fire, there was a repentance and a hunger. Before there was power, there was people gathering themselves unto God. And I believe this week of fasting has been a biblical alignment preparing a people. I'm using the word a people. A certain people. A people to reveal God's presence at a greater level than ever before. Why do I say a people? Because not everybody's going to choose this road. Unfortunately. I also believe it has been an invitation this week, an invitation for God to awaken, to refine, to empower his church for what is about to happen, for what is in the future. Not in within the church, within your own lives, within society, within this state, within Australia, within the world. I don't know if you realize this, but God has always responded to spiritually hungry people. Always. It's always moved. Spiritually hungry people. And over the past week, I saw that. We saw close to 200 people gather here in this building for corporate prayer. That's a lot. It's one thing been a pastor for over 30 years that you realize this prayer meeting is not a priority in people's lives, which is actually it should be, because a praying church is a growing church. And I'm not talking building. You're the church. You pray, you grow. Some were even braving feel-like temperatures of 2.2 at 6 a.m. in the morning. You can give yourselves a pat on the back. Give them a round of applause. Yeah, give them a round of applause. But I want to say this today, that I do believe we are a hungry people. I do believe it, because I see us in worship. We press in. I mean, we have an amazing team that lingers longer and that makes sure that God, we host His presence well. And I know that as we hunger for more of Him, and I'm not talking about the starving because you've been fasting, I'm talking about the spiritual hunger, He will meet us to the level of which we hunger. It's up to you. How much are you hungering? So today I've been led by Holy Spirit to preach from Joel 2 and not Acts 2. As you can see behind me, I have titled my message Before the Outpouring. Pentecost before the outpouring. And so I want to start my message today with an invitation from God to every single person sitting in here. Don't tune out. This invitation is for you. But before I do that, I also want to encourage you to not listen to this with your ears. I want you to listen to this with your heart this morning. I want you to hear with your heart, not your ears. I want you to open up your heart to receive, and as you receive, be moved. Be convicted. It's maybe a better word. It's a stronger word, but not by me, not by what I say, but by Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, turn with me to Joel 2, verses 12. Joel 2, verses 12. And I'm going to be reading this out of the Amplified Version. And the Amplified Version says, "Therefore also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart." Everybody say, all your heart. "With fasting and weeping, with mourning," and here it comes, "until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored." I love this. I love this because it reveals the heart of God. God is not looking for religious activity. He's looking for hearts. Hearts that turn. The New King James Version says, "Return to me." Hearts that return to Him, towards Him. Hearts that keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming to Him, constantly realigning lives back towards Him. Why? Until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored. What breaks the fellowship? Hindrances in the heart. Hindrances in the heart. It's an invitation of nearness for you and I. It's an invitation of intimacy with Him. And I also love how this verse begins. It begins with, "Therefore also now." Underline the word now. Because in other words, it was not too late. "Therefore also now." It's not too late. I want to say today to you and I, it's not too late yet. You see, mercy was then available. Mercy is still available for us today. And this invitation is still open, no matter what had happened. It was open back then to these people, no matter what they did, what they had done, even through their compromise, even through their spiritual drift, God still said to them, "Return to me." That right there, folks, is the goodness of God. And He's saying to you today, turn to me. Therefore, now, turn to me. It's not too late. It's never too late for God. Because He says, return, but He says, there's a continuity. Keep on coming to me. Keep on coming to me. This in itself makes me, and I believe this for today, after 7 days of prayer and fasting, that as we respond to this invitation to turn and keep coming to Him, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to mark people afresh today with a new hunger, a hunger for more of His presence, a hunger for a fresh desire, a hunger to be close to Him, a hunger to be in His Word, a hunger to be in His presence constantly. Is that you? And this sets itself up for Joel 2:15. Joel 2:15, it says, blow the trumpet. Now those squiggles there are the Hebrew for trumpet. In Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. The context here, when you go into the, when you read through Joel, is Joel is speaking to a people who had become spiritually dull. Joel is speaking to a people who's been distracted. Joel is speaking to a people who has been complacent. And he says, blow the trumpet. That squiggly lines up there, that is the Hebrew word for shofar. This is a shofar, if you wondered what it was. That's a shofar. Throughout scripture, the shofar was used as a divine intervention. It sounded alarms. It summoned people. It awakened nations. So the blast of the shofar in this context was heaven calling everybody to stop and to be awakened. A call to draw near to God. Now I have to mention this, that spiritual awakening only begins when heaven interrupts comfort. That's a good word, JJ. Awakening begins when God disrupts what the church has become willing to settle for. You just got to look at the Great Awakening. Churches had become formal. Faith had become routine. People had religion without fire. But when heaven interrupted comfortable Christianity, guess what happened? And I'm talking about the Great Awakening. This is what happened. Conviction returned. Repentance returned. People were falling on their knees on the sidewalks, in shops, out of their own. Nobody was preaching at them. Nobody was telling them anything about Jesus. They were just convicted and then they repented. Holiness returned. The fear of God returned back into the church. And the mission. Guess what? The Welsh Revival in 1905 saw 100,000 salvations in 1 year. Would Australia be a better place if there were 100,000 salvations? Yes, it would. The question is, though, how willing are you for God to disrupt your status quo? How willing are you? Then Joel says, consecrate a fast. Joel is not talking about merely skipping meals. And this was not religious performance. You see, to consecrate means to set apart completely unto God. This fasting was all about returning to God. Their fasting was all about returning to God. And then he says, call a sacred assembly. Now this is where I want to linger a little. The assembly refers to a gathering of God's people. That's why I said this is a sacred assembly. But, Joel is not saying, just get everyone in the room. He is saying, gather a people ready to stand before God. This wasn't just a meeting. It was a sacred assembly, a people humbled, a people consecrated, a people set apart for Him and Him alone. And you know what, folks? Our prayer, Paulina and I, our prayer for this house, for you, for every church person here, every church, you are the church, for that church, is this. When we gather, it's not just getting everyone in the room. When our kids gather, it's not just getting everyone in the room. When we have life groups, it's not just getting everyone in the room. When our youth and our young adults gather, it's not just getting everyone in the room. It's gathering a people humbled, set apart, ready to stand before God, to seek His face, to host His presence, and to respond to His voice. It doesn't help that we're here and we're in Jesus' presence and then we walk out the doors and we forget what we've just encountered or who we've just encountered. We have to live Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday. Come back Sunday, refilled. Live Monday to Saturday. Come back, refilled. This is my prayer. This is Paulina's prayer. This is what I call out every single time I'm praying for this house. Anyway, coming back to scripture. When we look at this, we see a sequence in scripture, and sequence is never coincidental. It matters. Blow the trumpet. What did the trumpet do? The trumpet awakened. Consecrate a fast. What did the fast do? The fast humbled. Call a sacred assembly. What did the assembly do? It united them. You see the sequence in this? Another way to put it is awakening, humility, unity. Now, this is not random. This is really, really important because this is the prophet Joel showing us, his people, back then them and now us, how God prepares a people for an awakening. How God prepares a people for an outpouring of his spirit. And I'm not sure about you, but I am ready for a fresh outpouring. No, I don't know if you're ready, but I am ready. And I am ready for the revival fires to burn again within Yuma. I'm ready for the revival fires to burn again in Victoria and in the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. I am ready. I'm ready for that call, that trumpet call. I'm ready that there is an awakening in the church. I'm ready to see the church consecrate itself. I'm fall on their knees and repent. I'm ready. And church, I also believe that the Holy Spirit is still sounding that call across his church, especially today. This is the day of Pentecost. But not a sound that says, come to church. No, no, no. A sound that awakens it to the fact that we need him more. We need dependency on him. We need reliance on him. We need to come closer. We need to surrender. We need to have intimacy. We need to be dependent upon him. Why? Because this is it. Pentecost began with a people gathering and making room for God. But I want to tell you today, Pentecost continues to occur today whenever people gather and make room for him. Pentecost is not a one-day thing. It's not like a Christmas and an Easter and a Pentecost. No, 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 no. We've got to walk in Pentecost. We've got to be walking in Pentecost constantly because it occurs every time. What happened then happens now. It occurs every time we gather together. As long as we are consecrated. As long as we're ready for what he's about to do. And the good news is this. Today's no different. Today's no different. You see, because in Joel 2:16, this points to an invitation that was for the people. All people. And this is an invitation that is for today, for all people. It says in verse 16, gather the people. Please note, it doesn't say perfect people. Doesn't say pastors. Doesn't say ministers. Doesn't say theologians. Doesn't say life group leaders. It says all people. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. There it comes. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and the nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out with his, from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. The first thing that we have to realize this when we read this is that these people that he is talking to had just consecrated a fast. They had just humbled themselves before God. They had just turned away from their worldly distractions and everyday routine to what? To draw closer to him. Who knows that a fast empties you? It strips away comfort. It exposes desire. Oh, I want a coffee. I so want a coffee. Pastor Russ, what do you want? Chocolate. I so want a chocolate. The same for these people. So by the time Joel says, gather the people, these are no longer casual people. These are hungry people. These are people that are desperate for his presence. These are people that are desperate for his mercy. These are people that are desperate for his restoration. And the second thing I want to point out is two key words in the scripture, gather and sanctify. You see, gather means bring the people together physically. Sanctify means prepare them spiritually. Set them apart for God. Folks, God wanted more than a gathering. He wanted a consecrated people, a people devoted, dedicated, and surrendered to him. A consecrated people. Who can be a consecrated people, you ask? Everyone in the scripture. It says elders, children, families, newlyweds, priests, etc., etc., etc. He wants everyone consecrated. No one was excluded from this invitation to be near God. No one. I don't know if you realize this, but there's really something powerful about a united, hungry church of all ages. We are blessed. Last week, we had 124 kids up there. 124. Lord Jesus, we need more space. We are blessed. We've got all ages. He's talking to us, New East. He's talking to us. It's really powerful when the church is united. You have to hear this, church. You have to hear it. God wants more than a gathering. He desires a consecrated people turning to Him, surrendering to Him, repenting, turning to Him. It's a constant thing. It's not a once-off thing. It's a constant thing. Now, if you have a look at all of this, this is a picture, actually, of Acts 2. Acts 2, the disciples were gathered. They were praying together. They were waiting together. They were hungry together. And suddenly, Joel 2. It's actually the outworking of Joel 2. That's how Peter, he refers to Joel 2. You see how Joel 2 comes before Acts 2? And then the promise is released. Now this is really interesting. Joel 2, 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Etc., etc., etc. But the church thinks that the pouring out of the spirit on all flesh is just going to happen. But I want to highlight today that it does not just happen. And how do I know this? There's one key word in this scripture that jumped out at me, and that word is afterward. After what? Let's have a look. After the turning, after the awakening, after the consecration, after the gathering of consecrated people, after the hunger, then comes the outpouring. Hear me, church? There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. A thought that I had this morning, which I wrote into my notes, was this. Jesus could have just given them the Holy Spirit. He could have just right there given the disciples the Holy Spirit. But what did He tell them to do? He told them to wait. Wait in the upper room. Was this perhaps so that they could get their hearts aligned? So that the Holy Spirit could be poured out. So what Joel spoke about. Wow. Wow. Let me reiterate. Without Joel 2, there would not be an Acts 2. Pentecost was never disconnected from repentance. Pentecost was never disconnected from surrender or hunger for God. The outpouring came to people who had been awakened, who'd been humbled, who'd been gathered, and who'd been set apart for God. And I prophesy over Pneuma East. I prophesy over Pneuma. I prophesy over the church. Now is the time that the Spirit is calling us, His people, higher. Now. There has never been a time like this. He is calling the church higher. Higher than casual Christianity. Higher than routine faith. Higher than comfort. And that makes us uncomfortable. And that's good. But you see, when I read all of this, it seems to me God does not respond to complacency and spiritual apathy and comfortable Christianity, but He does respond to a church who hungers after Him. Remember, I'm not talking about Pneuma East. When I say church, I'm talking about you. You're the church. A church who hungers after Him. I believe the Spirit of God is calling us. He's calling you and I to a deeper surrender. He's calling you and I to a deeper dependence. He's calling you and I to a greater hunger of the awareness of His presence. He's inviting us again. Come closer. Come closer. The team can join me, that'll be great. My question is this for you as the church, can you make room for him again? Why do you say again, JJ? Because I know when we all need to return to our first love. Because when you gave your life to Jesus, you were on fire. You even wanted to convert the parrots in the sky and the dogs on the walkway and the trees, and you were just telling everybody about it. But can you make room for him again? Can we here at Pneuma East make more room for him in our gatherings, in our life groups, in our youth, in our young adults, in our kids? Can we make more room for him in our personal lives, in our families, in our families? Can we make more room for him? Are we willing to lay our lives down, our wants and our needs, set them aside and draw near to him, and draw near to him, and come back to him? You see, one of the over 7,000 promises of God that is written in this book is this in James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Hungry people attracts my interpretation. Draw near to God. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. God responds to hungry people. We see in Joel 2 and we see it again in Acts 2. And as we come out of a fast today, I believe the Holy Spirit is inviting a people closer. I have a shofar here, a beautiful instrument. And I've actually asked Matt to come and blow the trumpet as per Joel 2. I don't want you to pick up your phones. I don't want you to take photos because this is a holy moment. This is a holy moment. But what I do want us to do is I want us to close our eyes. But before we do that, I also have a prayer shawl, a Jewish prayer shawl. Actually, a very interesting garment. Every tassel here and every knot in the tassel means something. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's a great garment. I'm going to ask Matt to come forward. I'm going to put this on his shoulders. Where are you, Matt? And then I'm going to get our trumpet player to blow the trumpet. I won't put it over your head. Okay, there you go. But before he does, as he prepares, this is what I want us to do. I don't want your eyes open. I don't want you looking. Because what I want you to do is, as he blows the trumpet, I want you to hear this in your spirit. I want you to hear the awakening. Allow an awakening of your heart to take place. Allow the clogged up wells to be unclogged. Turn to him today. Come to him. Wow. Wow. Thanks, Matt. There's your call. That's the call. He didn't just make that up. This is the call. Takia, tarua, takia. Takia, as the Hebrew says, the unignorable alarm clock. Tarua is a blast or an alarm to awaken the soul. We have a call. We have fasted. We have gathered a sacred assembly. We have fulfilled the requirements of Joel 2, 15 to 17, and all we need to do right now is call a sacred assembly. Sacred. A people collectively humbling, surrendering themselves before the Lord. So I call a sacred assembly. Sanctify yourselves. Humble yourselves. Set yourselves aside for God. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform you, not only on the outside, but also on the inside. Allow Him, Holy Spirit, to touch you with more awareness of God. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to create space. Space for you to minister to God. Space for God to minister to you. You to minister to. How do I minister to God? You bring your worship. You bring your life. You bring your finances. You bring your all. You come and lay it down at His feet. How does He minister to you? He allows the cloud of His glory to fill this room and His presence to saturate you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. So, this morning, we're going to go into a little bit of worship. Where are you at? Where are you at, church? Do you want more of the awareness of God? Do you want to be stirred with fresh fire? Do you want to come closer? I don't know where you're at. Do you want to awaken a fresh hunger on the inside of you? Do you just want to come and say, refill me? If that's you, I want you to jump out of your seat. I want you to come forward.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.